Check it to wreck it. Let's begin. Recall's in the house. Jump, jump for joy as we're partying over here and shaking our dairy airs back to 94. And these three words mean we're getting busy. All new episode. Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we'll take a look at everything the radical decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, be excited that you found us, because you're about to have an awesome time. And for all of our returning listeners and subscribers, it is great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined by someone who always makes it all for one and, of course, all for love. It is my home skillet, Rob.
Home skillet. Nice. Hey, today's episode goes out to all of our listeners that may be feeling discouraged or down at times. Dave and I want you to know that if you look inside your heart, there is a hero. We also want you to know that you don't have to be afraid of who you are or what you are. If you may be wrestling with feelings of doubt, Dave and I think the answer is pretty simple. You need to reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know will melt away. When you do that, a hero will come along with the strength to carry on. Then you will cast your fears aside and you will know you can survive. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get us wrong. We know it's a long road when you face the world alone. No one reaches out a hand for you to hold, and the Lord only knows that dreams are hard to follow. But don't let anyone tear them away. If you walk away from today's episode learning nothing, we want you to hear this. Hold on. You can find love if you search within yourself. That emptiness you feel, it will disappear. There will be a tomorrow, and in time, you will find the way. Most importantly, Dave, and I want you to know that when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see that the truth, that there is a hero that lies in you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Inspirational. Yeah. Good way to start the show. I know what that's from. But I'll let other people figure it out. I won't spoil the surprise.
All right.
Surprise, surprise.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Well, we are in the new year, 2024. So that pushes the 80s and 90s a little further away from us, but we'll never forget them. Right, Rob?
Well, I'm starting to. Well,
no, you're not. That's why we do this. So we don't forget. But since we're in the new year, I saw something I wanted to share with you that isn't 80s and 90s related per se, but it did come up last year on this pod. So I thought it was interesting. The Oxford University Press, located in Oxford, England, which publishes the Oxford English Dictionary, always chooses a word of the year. And for 2023, the word they chose is Riz, Rob.
Riz.
Slang that I used on the show that you were not immediately aware of. I did tell you to ask your kids about it.
I did.
They. And now it is the word of the year for Oxford, and that's going into the dictionary.
Wow. Riz.
Yes, Riz.
Do you have the definition there, like how it's used?
Riz. Well, I've already told you before. Yeah, it's short for charisma. So charisma. It's inspirational. Okay. They describe it as someone who's good at getting ladies or men or whomever.
Okay.
Give it, like back in the day, we'd say someone had game.
I don't think I ever said
that. He got game. We got game. Game is there, right? So, well, okay. I know for a fact, and our wives would agree, we both ooze Riz.
Right? Oh, ooze it.
All right. Yeah. So be careful not to charm us too much. And tell everyone the topic we're covering for this week's episode.
All right. So today we are looking at the Billboard. We're back at the Billboard Hot 100, and we're looking at January 9th of 94. So the week of January 9th, 1994.
Correct.
So this week, 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
My senior year in high school, 1994.
Yeah.
We would have just come back from Christmas break.
That's right. This would have been my sophomore year.
Your sophomore year?
Yeah. Second half of my sophomore year.
Correct. I may have been starting to get a little senioritis at this point, right?
Yeah.
Looking forward to graduation. Let's see. I was waiting for baseball season. Didn't start till February-ish. Mm-hmm. You were in the middle of basketball season.
Basketball season.
JV team?
Mm-hmm. JV.
So, first year on JV, play freshman, JV, and then your last 2 years varsity, right?
Varsity. That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
So, I wasn't sure if you were up on varsity as a sophomore, but I went to those games and I didn't remember seeing you.
I might have done a little swinging.
Ooh, but, nice.
You know,
come up for some practices.
For some practice, yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime I can get on the court.
Well, that's good. Yeah. So, well, some things about 1994 that you may or may not remember, because a few seconds ago you said you're starting to forget things.
I am.
Friends debuted.
Oh.
Not your favorite show, but very popular.
Yeah.
Seinfeld and ER were the top two shows on television. Both very good.
Okay.
The number one movie of the year was Forrest Gump.
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay. So we know you like that guy. Right? So, the Dallas Cowboys, yuck, won the Super Bowl. They beat the Buffalo Bills, who lost their fourth straight Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Good for them, right? Mm-hmm. No World Series champion as the Major League Baseball locked out that year.
Oh.
Remember the end of the season?
I do remember that, yeah.
They turned it off because the Expos were really good.
Yeah.
And they didn't get to end up going there in first place.
Yeah, and so, I remember there were a bunch of players that were getting ready to, I mean, they were on track to break a ton of records.
And they shut it down.
That's right.
The Houston Rockets won the NBA championship only because Jordan was off pretending to play baseball. Houston fans can be as upset with me as they want, but these are the facts. When Jordan was there, he won six championships. The 2 years he took off, Houston slid in, got a go.
Yeah.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Somehow Arkansas beat Duke to win the college basketball championship.
Was that Corliss Williamson?
I believe it was. Yeah. Big Nasty.
That Big Nasty.
They called him. And Florida State, the Seminoles, beat Nebraska to win the football national championship.
Interesting. So. Okay. I just have to tell you.
Okay.
We have not discussed.
No.
Like, we didn't talk about that you were going to, what info you were going to give.
We never talk about that.
About 94. No. Right? So I wanted to introduce a silly segment.
I know, but I wasn't done yet.
No, okay. So go ahead. Keep
going.
Let
me finish.
No, because this is perfect. This is so good.
All right. Well, the last part that I have is, on a sad note, Kurt Cobain left us.
Oh, that was
way too early. Yeah.
Okay.
Then on a fun note, the original Sony PlayStation was released.
Oh.
And finally, in the world of crazy news, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, famous rapper from TLC, set fire to her boyfriend Andre Rison's house. And for those of you that don't know Andre Rison, he was a pretty top shelf wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Yes, in the prime time days.
Well, that is crazy.
Crazy.
That we think very similar. So here, I'd like to introduce a segment I like to call
This Week in History. Oh, wow.
That is an epic.
You like that?
That is sweeping.
Yeah, yeah. So this week,
yes,
of in 1994, Tanya Harding. So on January 7th, in 1994, Tanya Harding won the U.S. Female Figure Skating Championship, and less than a week later, on January 13th, Tanya Harding's bodyguard Sean Eric Eckhart, and Derek Brian Smith were arrested and charged with conspiracy and attack of figure skater Nancy Kerrigan.
It whacked her in the knee.
That's right.
She was from where we live.
She's not too, a couple blocks over.
Tanya Harding, that is, not Nancy Kerrigan.
Yes. Now, also, January 10th of 94, the trial of Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh, good one.
Who cut off her husband's penis began.
Yeah.
So this all started in 93 when Lorena Bobbitt severed her husband's penis with a food knife.
And threw it in a field.
While he was asleep. Yes. the penis was successfully surgically reattached following a 9-hour surgery.
Yeah.
Lorena would eventually be acquitted of assault by reason of insanity.
That's pretty insane.
Surprisingly, the couple divorced in 95.
Shocking.
Yeah.
He also went on to do some adult film work.
That's my next bullet. John Wayne Bobbitt would go on to a semi-successful porn career. He starred in the 1994 John Wayne Bobbitt Uncut.
Key phrase there being semi due to the slicage.
It was directed by veteran porn actor Ron Jeremy, and it won the 1995 AVN Award for Top Selling Release of the Year and Top Renting Release of the Year.
Beautiful.
John also went on to accumulate a record of series of abuse allegations and some criminal convictions.
Not a good guy,
turns out. And then in 2018, in case anybody wanted to know, John stated that his penis is, quote, back to normal.
Ooh, good for him.
Unquote. So there you go.
So
there you go.
All
right.
Some fun extras.
What I got it for 94.
Got some knee wax and some penis chops and a lot of violence early in 1994 there, huh?
That was a wacky time.
Because 94 was also the year of OJ, so there's a lot of violence going on.
See what I mean? Something happened in 94.
Something's going on there. We're not sure what's happening.
That was weird.
Well, our lives are pretty plain, but keep your head up as we take a trip back 30 years to look at the top songs on the Billboard charts for this week. And of course, 1994. Nothing sounds more 90s than that right there. So, well, if you like Totally 80s and 90s Recall and never want to miss it, take a second after this episode to hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already. And if you don't want people to think you're totally bugging, share it with a friend you know is into the 80s and 90s just as much as you or hey. If they aren't, an hour with Rob and I will be the perfect way to get them hooked. Because as I always say, Rob, we are totally money and we don't even know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we got the Riz.
We do have the Riz. See? You're weaving that right in today. All right. I like it.
I'm hip. So,
well, for those not familiar with this show, today Rob and I have selected 10 songs each from the Billboard Hot 100 for this week back in 1994. These were the best 100 songs in America, according to the radio and music sales, CDs, tapes, such and such. To choose our songs this week, Rob had to select from the bottom 50. I chose from the top 50. And if I'm perfectly honest, I am very interested in to see what songs you have chosen today. Because after looking at all 100, I definitely believe this was a top-heavy Billboard chart this week. I think I had more to choose from when I looked at the bottom 50 than you had to choose from. So I'm very interested in the 10 you extracted because there was some crap at the bottom of the list. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So. My 10 or yeah, whatever, my 7 and my 3.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot left.
I know. That's, I said, I looked at the bottom 10 and I was just trying to determine, like, if I was in your spot, what 10 would I go
with? Yeah, I like my list. I'm really happy with my list.
Oh, that's good.
But you probably could have picked my
list. See. I have a couple ideas, but I also looked at some songs and artists and I'm like, I don't know that or I'm not into it, but curveballs could come a flying. I just think if I look the top 10 or the top 50 I chose from the 5-10 seemed pretty simple.
Oh, yeah, I perused your top 50. Yeah.
Plenty to choose from.
And I had a ton extra that I was like, that'd have been a good one.
Yeah, there's probably lots of good ones up there. So, well, in fitting with your, I always write these little interludes before we head to the first song.
Yeah.
And your opening hello for everyone went right in line with mine. We were both thinking on the same lines. So I'm still going to read it
because
I don't have anything else to read. So I put, folks, a hero has come along with the strength to start off our countdown. So Rob, finally see the truth and play us your number 7 song.
All right. My number 7 is...
This was one of those I thought you would pick.
Really?
Yes. That acapella thing was like hot for a second there.
Yeah, it was. And these guys were everywhere. They were kind of on the coattails of Boyz II Men and trying to be kind of the...
Not quite as good.
No. That's pretty good.
It is. There's some good harmonies in there.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, so that's So Much in Love.
So Much.
By All4One, spelled All for the number.
For the number.
One. And then spelled O-N-E. Yeah. So chart performance-wise, this week in 94, it was at 55. Last week, it was at 74. So it's moved up.
Yes.
It will peak eventually at number 5. It's the highest it will get. And it spends about 3 weeks on the chart. So, but it's originally performed by an American soul vocal group called The Times in 1963. So this is actually a cover song. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
It was released in late 93. This is All4One's debut single. And it was based off another version by a group called AFD. And I tried to find information about them and I struck out. Couldn't find anything. It peaked at number 5. It was certified gold and it reached number 3 for your friends in New Zealand.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
So they like the harmonies. Like
that, a little trivia for you.
Ooh.
All4One's song Someday
was
featured in what popular 1996 Disney movie? Was it A, Muppet Treasure Island? B, The Hunchback of Notre Dame? C, Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco? Or D, James and the Giant Peach?
I'm going to go with The Hunchback.
Oh,
excellent.
Nice job. Yeah.
I know my cartoons.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah. So that was All4One. So Much in Love. All For One.
That wasn't even their biggest song that year.
No.
Because there's another song. I think it was number 1 for months.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I'm losing a blank. But we know it.
Yeah.
We heard it all the time. Well, good start. You like that doo-wop harmonies?
I did.
Kind of that old school type of thing.
Yeah. And I liked it. I do like my list. I'm very proud of my list.
Nice.
For the bottom 50, these are good songs.
If you were to pull 10 good songs, I'm going to be proud of you today. Because I don't know that I saw 10. So I'm going to be excited. So, well, my number 7, super awesome, came from a unplugged live version on MTV. And it is Because the Night by 10,000 Maniacs. have been shut down. So, oh, there we are. He found it. Kip in the booth.
That sucks.
Our first show of the year.
Damn it, Kip.
And, you know, a year in. I think we'll be looking for that.
I remember this one.
That's a good song.
What's her name?
I'm going to tell you here in a second. You just got to give me some time, right? So that was the 10,000 Maniacs.
Mm-hmm.
This song, if people didn't remember, Because the Night, since there was a gap there. This song has a much different vibe than anything else on my list this week. You'll find out. But I remember really liking it. In fact, I quite enjoy the lead singer, Natalie Merchant's voice. She sounds really good. It was number 21 this week and would get as high as number 11 on the US Hot 100. Number 7 in Iceland. Didn't really chart a lot anywhere else, but I did find those. This is a cover song, just like your past song, written by Patti Smith and your boy Bruce Springsteen, and released originally in 1978 and was also done by an Italian dance group, CO.RO, getting a dance rave version. I listened to Patti Smith's version. It was good, a little slower, but I prefer Natalie's voice, but still sound pretty similar to the version we just heard. However, the Italian dance version is a big no thanks. This was performed on, it wasn't good. I didn't like it. So, this was performed, as I said, on MTV's Unplugged with some lyrical changes. And I'll be honest, until I heard this song, I'd never heard of the 10,000 Maniacs. Mm-hmm. So this was my introduction to them. Fun fact, it's been recorded two more times since 1994 by Cascada, another dance singer type. She did a dance mix to it. It was better than that CORO, but I still just am not a fan of that. And finally, in 2003, Garbage, featuring a group I'd never heard of, Screaming Females, they did a version of it, which I have a sample of because I kind of wanted to let you, Rob, hear it, because it's got a little more of an alternative feel to it.
Okay.
It's actually pretty good. I prefer the 10,000 Maniacs the best, but this is worth a listen just for the guitar solo that they throw in there. So...
I like it.
Yeah. The guitar solo is really good. I think we need a small preview of that. And it's worth it just for that.
That's good. That's really good.
That's all
good. I like that version.
That's good. Well, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
We will include that as well.
That's really good.
Yeah. So Because the Night, original 10,000 Maniacs in 94 this week. But if you're looking for something a little different, you got the Garbage version and, of course, the classical version by Patti Smith. Overall, good song. Thought it came in well at number 7.
Yeah, I don't know that I could name another 10,000 Maniacs
I cannot.
Song.
I was looking at all of them, and I didn't even think I really listened to a lot of them. So,
no, I don't know.
That's good.
Anyway, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
All right, here we go. My number 6.
6. Ah. I like this.
I do like this.
I don't love all dance songs, but this one's fun. It's got a good good rhythm to it.
I
definitely remember it, too, from school.
And this group had 2 songs on the list this week.
Ooh.
They had one that peaked a little higher.
Oh.
It was in the top.
It was in the top.
You had this.
You're upset about that?
Well, I mean...
You wanted that song instead?
I don't know. There's a... So there's a criticism in here of that song. But this is, it's called Groove Thang.
Yes.
By a group called Jeanne.
Thang, not being spelled with a T-H-A-N-G.
That's correct.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So this this week it was at 94. It charted at 71. It's new on the chart. It came into the chart at 71. So this week was the first time it was on the chart.
Perfect.
It would peak at 17, and it only stayed on the chart for a week. This is American R&B group Jeanne. And for the name, they had the idea of using the French pronunciation of their first names, Jean and Renee, or Jean and Renee. And so they got fancy with the name.
Very smart.
Their debut album was called Pronounced Jeanne. Mm-hmm. It was pronounced Jeanne. 94 features a rap version by Naughty by Nature. Rap verse by Naughty by Nature. It's been described as smooth and infectious, criticized for sounding like Hey Mr. DJ, which was the song that's in the top 50.
That's kind of the same rhythm.
Very similar, yeah.
I gotcha.
And this week, Hey Mr. DJ was number 36. So it's been described as near irresistible.
I don't have Mr. DJ, so I'll just let you off the hook right now.
A sturdy bass thumping, not bass. No, I like that'd bass be fish. Thumping. Yeah, that'd be fishing. That's like a fishing podcast. A sturdy bass thumping number. Mm. It is propelled by precious lead vocals and a chorus that sneaks up on you when you least expect it. It's a fresh new tune destined to do huge things. A sweet, slinky, strong jogger.
Nice.
And I remember purchasing this album through Columbia House.
Oh, you had this album?
I owned it. Wow. Yes, I really liked it.
Do you still have it? Is it still in the collection?
I don't think so.
It might have drifted away.
Yeah, I don't think so. Trivia for you. In 1991, the pair met a member of what popular rap act and did their first professional recording together for the song Ring My Bell?
Ooh.
Was that A, Salt and Peppa? B, the Goody Mob, C, the Far Side, or D, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince?
I have no idea. I'll just go with D.
Oh.
Excellent.
Wow.
You're 100%. Yeah.
Look at that.
They met DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah.
Ring My Bell was on the same album that featured the popular hit Summertime.
Nice.
Former Warner Brothers executive Benny Medina suggested they become a group.
Nice.
So after they met for that song.
When you say Jeanne.
Jeanne.
It reminds me of the movie Boomerang, Strange.
Strange.
Remember? She was the Grace Jones character.
Crazy.
I love it.
Nuts.
So, yeah. Well,
so Jeanne, groove thang.
We'll get off the lake and get off that, what'd you call it? Bass?
The bass thumping.
Bass thumping? No more bass thumping. All right. My number six contains no fish, but it is the funkiest cut on my list this week. It is a song called Cantaloupe. Parentheticals, Flip Fantasia.
Sung like a lullaby, brace yourself. As I remember this.
Oh, yeah. Dip, trip, flip, fantasia. I like it. It's got some groove to it.
Yeah. This is a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they were around for much longer. Feel the beat drop, jazz and hip hop.
Yeah, it was kind of a...
That's Cantaloupe.
Yeah.
By the group US3 or US3. I'm not sure. I couldn't get a good feel on it, but it's literally US3. Okay. They're a British jazz rap group, which I didn't know was a genre,
Jazz
rap.
Rap.
Yes, that is a genre.
Sure.
I didn't find a lot more bands in that genre outside of US3, but here they are. This is number 42 on the Billboard charts this week. It would peak at number 9, so a top 10 hit on the US Hot 100. It was also a top 10 in 5 other countries. The song samples Herbie Hancock's Cantaloupe Island and was originally released in January of 1993, which means it took a year for it to actually get moving on the US Hot 100 charts. So they are very persistent. Good for you, US3.
US3. We're not sure.
We don't know. Maybe US3 because they're from the UK. I don't know. This song was received very highly by critics for its infusions of jazz and rap and was called a zesty stew of jazz fusion, hip hop, and traditional funk. I love the horns in this song and it has a really catchy tune. It was quite different from most other hip hop released in the early 90s, especially 1994, because a lot of West Coast rap, East Coast rap stuff. Diggable Planets released Rebirth of Slick, Parenthetical Cool Like Dat in 1992. And that's the only other song in the early 90s I could find that had the same kind of vibe to it or kind of sounded the same way. So
that's cool.
But fun fact, the video for this song earned a Billboard Award for Best New Artist Clip in 1994.
What'd you call it? A zesty stew.
Zesty stew of jazz fusion hip hop and traditional funk.
That makes me hungry.
Yeah.
Zesty stew.
You want a stew of US3?
Sure.
US3?
Yeah.
US3? I don't know what it is.
US3.
It's something.
We'll just try any,
pronunciation
that
we can get to.
Yeah, there we go. So. All right. My number five.
Five.
Is? I like this.
Is this Tony?
It is.
I know you like Tony.
I do.
So I saw it. I figured you'd go to it.
I had the CD. Sons of Soul was the name.
They love the ballads.
Yeah. And as I listen to the lyrics, I think of 94. I remember this song, but I don't know that it
helped you out.
I don't know that it resonated as a as a sophomore.
Heck yeah, it did.
Did it?
Oh yeah. Throw on some Tony.
Yeah. And then
hey ladies.
Yeah.
It's awfully dark in here.
This is definitely a making love song.
Okay, so I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
This is not a booty.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, this is making love.
Yeah, song. This okay. is it.
All right. All right. Well, this is Lay Your Head on My, or well, I'm going to do parentheticals. So it's parentheticals, Lay Your Head on My pillow.
Good.
Pillows by itself. It's not in the parentheses.
It's not.
It's out.
It's less emphasized.
Yeah. It's just pillow. Anyway, gotcha. Chart performance this week in 94, it charted at 93, came in at 93. It would peak at 31 and it would stay on the chart for a week. So the highest it ever got was 31. This is Tony, Tony, Tony from their 93 album, Sons of Soul. It was written and produced by the group. I don't know if you remember this. I vaguely remember this. It was accompanied by a music video where the whole group was nude.
I do not remember that.
And they conceived it as their response to criticism of male artists for sexually objectifying women in music videos.
Well, that was nice of them.
Yeah. Anyway, a little trivia for you. Band member Rafael Sadiq, born Charles Ray Wiggins, has been playing the bass guitar. I was almost going to say bass guitar.
Again, we're on the lake again, Rob.
Apparently, I can't read. since the age of 6, and first began singing at age 9 in a local gospel group. At the age of 12. He joined a group called the Gospel Hummingbirds in 1984. Shortly before his 18th birthday, Sadiq heard about the tryouts in San Francisco for the backing band of what popular 80s female performer? Was it Tina Turner, Diana Ross, Sheila E., or D. Gloria Estefan?
I'm going to go with Sheila E. on this one.
Excellent! You are 100% today. Nice job. Yeah, Sheila E.'s backing band was playing on Prince's parade tour.
Ah.
At the audition, he chose the name Raphael and had difficulty remembering to respond to the name when he heard that he had got the part to play bass in the band. He says the experience, quote, next thing I was in Tokyo, he's 12.
Yeah, that's good.
He's 12 years old. He's in Tokyo in a stadium singing Erotic City. We were in huge venues with the biggest sound systems in the world. All those roadies throwing me basses and a bunch of models hanging around Prince to party for almost 2 years.
Perfect.
That was my university, he says.
I love it.
12 years old, and he's on tour with Prince.
Better than what I was doing when I was 12, so I was not in Tokyo. Milwaukee, running
That's
around.
That's right.
All right. Well, you went with a nice slow R&B. Mm-hmm. I also have an R&B song for my number 5. It's from a youngster named A Tevin Campbell.
Oh. Is this Can We Talk?
It is Can We Talk.
Yes.
I really like it.
I do. I remember this.
Another youngster.
I remember that. That's a good song.
Oh, yeah. He's got some good background vocal help. Everything's working here in this song.
Yeah, that's good. Is that Babyface back there?
Well, I don't know that Babyface is in it, but he's definitely part of this situation.
Yeah.
So this is Can We Talk by Tevin Campbell, number 9 this week, which is its peak on the U.S. Hot 100. That's as high as it would go. Did go number 1 on the U.S. Hot R&B is not a word. R&B hip-hop chart. Not a lot of chart success overseas, hitting its highest in Australia at number 12. So good for the Aussies. This song was written and produced by Babyface and Daryl Simmons and was the first single off Tevin's second studio album. The song was nominated for a Grammy, losing to Ray Charles in 1994 for some reason. But it did snag Tevin a Soul Train Music Award for Best R&B Soul Single. A British boy band called Code Red. Never heard of them.
No.
Covered this in 1997, and I had not heard that, so I listened to it. And I really wish I could return to a time in my life where I still had not heard that, because it was crap. It was overproduced. It doesn't have near the soul that Tevin provides in his version. However, Code Red's version did reach number 29 in the UK, so it was a top 40 hit, and Tevin's didn't even chart in the UK. So I don't know what we're doing there. That seems wrong. The UK, you got to do better than that. I love our UK audience, but you failed on that one for sure.
So. And Ray Charles was still around then, huh?
Apparently.
How did he lose out to Ray Charles?
He lost. The Grammy went to the old timer.
To the on goat. That one.
The
goat.
And then the quiz for you, Rob.
Oh.
Easy, because it came from your last one.
Yeah.
Where does this fall for you? Booty Jam or Make a Love Song?
I don't do well at quizzes. This is a making love song.
It is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
100%.
All right. Okay. So. All right. Yeah, there's a
There's an art to it.
You're starting to figure it out a little more.
It's taken me 46 years to figure
this
out.
This is definitely, you put on Tevin making love.
Okay.
That's all what right. you do.
Okay.
All right. So, all right.
Number four.
Four.
Is?
Ah.
Did you think this would be on my list?
First scan, I would have thought so, yes. Yeah. It's that weird video where he's walking around on the freeway.
Yeah.
I've always, I appreciate this song being what it is, but I always thought it was a little depressing.
It is.
It's not something I throw on and like listen to a lot. But I got it.
Yeah.
They try to help it with a little of that background.
Try yeah.
to pick it up a little in the background, but it's still,
no,
still it's, wildly sad.
This is very sad. Yeah. So this is Everybody Hurts, R.E.M. This week in 94, it was at 74. Last week it was at 68. It would peak at 29. But it would spend 19 weeks on the chart.
Oh, yeah.
It is the longest on my list. There's a song that was in the top 50 that spent way more than 19 weeks. Yeah. And I'll be shocked to see if you have it.
But, people love this song.
Yeah. But this is R.E.M. was on the album Automatic for the People. Came out in 92.
Big album,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. In 2003, Q ranked the song number 31 on their list of the 1,001 best songs ever.
You know how good an album is 2 years later, you're still putting a single off of it on the charts.
Yeah, right.
That's doing pretty well.
In 2005, Blender ranked the song at number 238 on their list of the greatest songs since you were born.
Okay.
In the liner notes of the album In Time, the best of R.E.M., Buck wrote that the reason the lyrics are so atypical, straightforward is because it's aimed at teenagers. And I've never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but the idea that high school is a portal to hell seems pretty realistic to me. Ooh. And that was in reference to the song was used in the 1992 film Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
In 2022, Stipe told Rick Rubin that Everybody Hurts was inspired by Nazareth's cover of Love Hurts.
Okay.
I don't know. It's been described as spare, honest, and an emotional track. There's no denying the song's power. Haunting, one of R.E.M.'s best songs ever. Emotionally moving, deeply affecting, boring and repetitive.
Mm.
A beautiful, touching, and absorbing ballad, and bloody beautiful. A little trivia for you. Early on, the band considered which of the following names for their band. A, Cans of Piss.
I like that.
B, Negro Eyes.
I don't like that.
C, Twisted Kites. D, All of the Above.
I'm just going to go with D. Anytime that's an option on some of these tests, you're supposed to take it.
Yep, all the above. The band settled on R.E.M., which Stipe selected at random from a dictionary.
Probably good.
R.E.M. is well known as an abbreviation for rapid eye movement.
Mm-hmm.
But the sleep researcher, I guess, apparently contacted R.E.M. and said, hey, did you name the band after
Sleeping?
And he was told the band was named, quote, not after R.E.M. Sleep.
All right.
Well, so I don't know.
Stipe is very intuitive, so he's got whatever he's got going on there. So I'm not here to argue with Blender at all.
Yeah.
But I think from the time I've been born in the old 1976, I can think of 237 better songs than that. And I don't even know how many songs they went to, but I think I can think of 300 songs better.
Yeah.
I'm not, I understand why people like it, but for me, that's just not one I sit down and listen to very often.
Well, and so, even on, it's
too depressing,
you know, on Q's ranking.
Yeah.
Number 31 on the list of 1,001 best songs.
That's
I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong.
No, it's fine, but it shouldn't be in the top 30 or 40, whatever it is. That's too much. I don't know their metric though. I don't know how they measure songs. So we'll let them, they get paid to do it. We don't.
That's right.
So there we go. Well, I'm going to pick up the beat a little bit because that put the whole room to sleep. Kip's back there on a pillow taking a nap. So I'm going to kick it up a notch with a little salt and pepper.
Oh. Don't know how you shoot the voodoo that you do so well. It's a spell. Hell makes me want to
shoot. This just sounds like 94.
It does. They were everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Good. You're packed in your stack, especially in the back. Brother, I want to thank your mother for a butt like that. Can I get some fries with a shake booby? If looks could kill, you would be an Uzi. Would be an Uzi.
There's a couple lines in there that we say it often on the show, but that didn't age well.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's one part of the song that didn't age well at all. There's that in the middle where they kind of have that rapper.
Uh-huh.
He says 12 inches to a yard. Yeah, that's sounded like the R word.
Yeah.
And then they make a really like offensive noise.
Yes.
That's
the one I was thinking.
They have since come out and kind of apologized for that. So that's good. Yep. Well, this is Shoop by Salt and Peppa. Peppa. P-E-P-A.
That's right.
Everyone knows how that's spelled. Hot track, early 94. I remember listening to this song a lot on the radio in my car. Seemed like every day when I went to school, this was just was on Z100. Loved it. It was number 11 this week. It got as high as number 4 in the U.S. Hot 100. It was a top 40 hit in 11 other countries. Hit number 2 in Australia. So that was pretty good. The intent of the song was to turn the tables on men and make them the objects of desire in a song, because always previously it had
that's
been
right.
women.
That's right.
Kind of like. What? Tony with
that's right.
their nudity.
That's right.
The Village Voice listed this song number 62 of its top singles of the 90s, and Billboard listed it as its number 239 on its list of the 500 best pop songs of all time. Shoop doesn't mean anything in general. It's just a vibe.
Okay.
Like you see someone and you want their digits, so you're going to shoop.
You're going to shoop.
That's the explanation literally from Salt and Peppa. And even the part about seeing and getting the digits.
Isn't it an adjective? Noun.
It's whatever you want it to be.
Oh, okay.
It's just a state of mind.
Oh,
I'm
going to
shoop.
I'm going to shoop.
All right. The song was reborn in 2016 when it was featured in Deadpool, when Ryan Reynolds was rapping along while sitting on the bridge, drawing his picture of Francis. And that's how my kids know it, because they all know that song now.
I haven't seen
it. You haven't seen Deadpool?
I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
No, I can't crack on you because it's not in 80s or 90s.
I haven't seen it.
But it's really good, so you should see it.
I haven't seen it.
You would enjoy it. So, yeah.
And I do like a good superhero movie.
It's a good.
All right.
That is Shoop.
Okay. That's a good one. And I will tell you now, my next three.
No.
All three of them, I struggle with. I think they could have been all my number one.
Oh.
I like them that much.
All three, huh?
And I think you will agree.
We'll see.
I think you
sometimes
will agree.
Sometimes you rush to judgment on these things.
I think you will agree that these next three are legit.
Okay.
Like you, I think you will appreciate them.
All right.
So here's my number three.
I might disagree now just because.
All right. Here's my number three.
That's awesome.
Come on.
That would have been my number one.
I know. But wait till my next two. My next two. I'm like,
I've looked down there. I don't know that two are better than this song.
My number one is obvious.
Okay.
You're going to know it. But I just love this song.
This song is awesome.
If this comes on in the car, I crank it up. I love it.
This is on every 90s.
It was so different.
It's on every 90s mix I make.
Like all the noise.
Oh, yeah.
And the distortion. And I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm the last splash. Love it.
I had this as a single.
So good.
It's awesome.
All this weird. I love it.
That was, it's great.
Yeah.
That's the best song outside of my top 50 on the whole countdown.
So good.
I might argue it's one of the best songs on the entire countdown.
Yes.
Even in with the number ones and things that I have.
I think my number one, you're going to disagree with. But next two for sure, I think you will agree, probably should be there on the top of this list. But anyway, so this is Cannonball by the Breeders.
Oh, yeah.
This week it was 69. Last week it was 71. It will peak only at 44, which to me is...
A travesty.
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
It spent 7 weeks on the chart. This is from their second studio album called Last Splash. It's their biggest commercial success. It was named the best single of 93 on several lists. It sent the album to platinum status. NME called it, put it number 22 in their list of the 50 greatest indie anthems ever.
Good.
VH1 gave it 83 on 100 greatest songs of the 90s. Pitchfork Media gave it number 22 on their top 200 tracks of the 90s. Rolling Stones 500 greatest songs of all time put it at 489.
My goodness.
Kim Deal, the lead singer, she originally described the band as, quote, the Bangles from hell.
Mm.
I thought that was really good.
That is good.
Trivia. Frontwoman Kim Deal formed the Breeders in 1989 and released the platinum selling album Last Splash after Deal's first band broke up.
Mm.
What was the name of her band? Was it A, Throwing Muses, B, The Pixies, C, Luscious Jackson, or D, Belly?
Belly.
It's actually The Pixies.
Pixies, there it is.
Deal was the original bassist and co-vocalist in the alternative rock band Pixies from 86 to 93, and then again 2004 to 2013, and is the front one of the Breeders, which formed in 89.
She joined the Pixies in 86, and she actually adopted the stage name Mrs. John Murphy. Ooh, I don't know. That's a weird little stage piece name. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah. That's
Cannonball
Breeders. Probably, like awesome. I said, one of my favorite songs on the list right now.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Really good. You did good on that one.
Cool. I think you'll be proud of my next one too.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But if it's like that, you're off to the start there. So
nice.
My number three song is from a band I've mentioned multiple times on this podcast. Fun band, makes me feel good. Very 90s sounding. It is the Gin Blossoms. Yep.
Not Hey Jealous. This is no. This is
it's another one. They had other songs. People tune in here to hear you sing. Uh-huh. That's what we're here for.
I'm not about you. All right.
All right. You feel better?
Yeah.
I just figured it out. This is Found Out About You by the Gin Blossoms. A great fun song hanging in at number 40 this week on the Billboard. At its best, it hit number 25 on the U.S. Hot 100. However, did hit number one on the U.S. Alternative Airplay chart, as we've said before. I don't know if I consider them alternative, but anywhere you can get a number one, you take it. Number three in Canada, but just mild success chart-wise everywhere else, which is sad. This is a great song. This was the fourth single off their highly successful album, New Miserable Experience, which I had, and was written by lead guitarist at the time, Dustin Hopkins, who was then fired from the band afterwards for drug abuse and then did pass away later, I believe, of a drug overdose.
Oh, that's sad.
The song was actually written in the mid-80s and was one of the first songs the band used to demo themselves early on, and members of the band think it's actually their best song. Mm. One critic compared the sound of this song to REM at their hypnotic best.
Oh.
So just a little...
Yeah.
It was actually on their first album in 1989, and then they kind of restructured it for this album, and it was much more successful because they were much more successful.
Yeah.
So, because in 1989, they had an indie album, and in 1992, '93, it was a full studio album. Mm-hmm. So it got more marketing, got more press, MTV, all that good stuff. So,
yeah, last summer they came through here. It's kind of bummed we didn't grab, we didn't go see them, but
that would missed been out
cool.
on that one.
That'd have been cool.
Hey Jealousy.
Hey Jealousy. Love it. That was also a Columbia house purchase.
Although this time
purchase.
It was Found Out About You.
Found Out About You. Okay. My number two.
You're excited for this.
I am, because I think it's really good. Okay. I will tell you, I struggled to find a portion of this song that would not be offensive.
Oh.
But I think I queued up a section.
There are some offensive parts in some of these songs.
But here we go.
It's the 90s. What can you do? I love it. My G's keep spinning and these hoes keep grinning. I'll be rolling in my 6'4".
What everybody saying.
This is good.
Oh, you went with everybody saying.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
What everybody saying. I love this song.
Now, yeah, it's great. Can't go wrong with this. Now, I am the self-proclaimed whitest white boy ever.
Yes.
And I would roll the windows down in Tercel and turn this all the way up. I'd be rolling through Milwaukee.
Yeah.
No business rocking to this that hard.
No, so. I I cannot relate to anything the song has to say.
Nope.
At all.
but I vibe with it every time I listen to it.
But the production value of this song, I just think is crazy good. Oh, yeah. I can even acknowledge that. So anyway, chart performances. This week it was 76. Last week it was 72. It would only peak at 34, and it stayed on the chart though for 17 weeks. So this is Dr. Dre from it's called Let Me Ride. It's from the Chronic album. Dr. Dre, a guy named RBX, and Snoop Dogg share songwriting credits for the song. It was the final single from the Chronic. Mm-hmm. He won a Grammy Award for Best Rap Solo Performance for this song during the Grammy Awards of 94. The video is what I remember a lot about it. The movie, it was shot on location at Slauson Avenue in Los Angeles.
They mentioned it in the song.
Yeah. It was directed by Dr. Dre. It was the second lowrider cult video of Dr. Dre's career. It was nominated for an MTV Video Music Award for Best Rap Video. Had some cameos by Warren G.
Ooh, good.
Dre's stepbrother. DOC, The Lady of Rage, and Jada Pinkett Smith.
She's hanging around.
Yeah, I guess so. The video popularized the Chevy 6'4 Impala. which would be used in many of other Dr. Dre's and Snoop Dogg's videos. So trivia for you. In addition to the cameos previously listed, the video for Let Me Ride features what popular gangsta rapper and former bandmate? A, DJ Yella, B, Eazy-E, C, MC Ren, or D, Ice Cube?
Well, it's not E or Cube, so we'll go with Ren.
You were wrong. It was Ice Cube.
Oh, my
goodness. Ice Cube makes a cameo appearance walking out from a woman's bathroom saying, "Damn right, it was a good day."
Weren't they beefing by then?
Referring to his 92 solo single and also officially squashing the beef between Dre and Ice Cube, which had existed since Ice Cube left NWA.
There you go.
Yeah. That's my number two.
That is good.
Yeah.
Number two. Again, staying power of his CD. That CD came out, The Chronic, in 92.
Oh, yeah.
Still hitting the charts in 94. Yeah,
that was another one I got through Columbia House.
Yeah, we got them all through Columbia House.
The 10 CDs for a penny.
A lot of them for that. Yeah. I had a lot of aliases stacking up CDs.
Never thought to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's because you were a good kid. So
I just got caught with the free ones that came and I forgot to mail them back. And then I then you had to pay
$40 for a CD.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah. So, well, my number two song, great song from an artist that you and I have both expressed fondness for.
Mm-hmm.
It is Toni Braxton.
Oh.
Breathe Again.
I saw that on the list up there.
No.
I would have picked that one.
It's good.
I like that.
We know. Everyone knows. Yeah. The magazine was written under your bed.
She. I probably told this story. My dad and I, we went to the fair one year. We saw Tanya Tucker.
Yes, we've heard the Tanya. Yeah.
And my dad said she was
a fox.
Yeah. Yes. So to me, Toni Braxton is
also a fox. Correct. A fox. Yes. So yeah, the Tanya Tucker's made a couple appearances on her show. That was an impactful moment in your life.
I do because that was like the front. My dad wanted to go to the front. He was trying to work his way to the front. He
was in.
He had to see that Tanya Tucker.
He wanted to throw some Riz on her.
That's
it.
I don't like that.
All right. Well, this is Breathe Again by Toni Braxton, not Tanya Tucker. This song feels like 1994. I distinctly remember listening to this all the time. It just reminds me of high school, actually. Also, Rob, like Tevin, this is a making love song. All right. This is not a booty jam either.
Okay.
So just in case you were wondering, I know you think about these things at night. So this was number five this week on the Billboard. It hit number three at its peak on the U.S. Hot 100. Also a top 10 hit in 9 other countries, including number one in Zimbabwe and number two in El Salvador, two countries I wouldn't expected. The song was written by Babyface, produced by L.A. Reid and Daryl Simmons, who seemed to be everywhere in the 90s.
He was.
This song earned Braxton a second consecutive Grammy Award in 95 for Best Female R&B Vocal Performance. So she was on fire there.
Nice.
You know how I feel about love ballads. So this hits all the right buttons for me, and it's very sing-alongable. I know that's not a word, but I've made it a word.
Sing-alongable.
Yes. And I can't resist sing-alongable
songs. That works for me.
So this was the seventh most popular song for all of 1994 on the year-end Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. And she had another single at number 17. So besides Mariah Carey, she was the only artist in 1994 to have two top 20 hits at the end of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
She was impressive.
She was getting it done. That's why she won two straight Grammys.
No.
You don't do that if you're not working hard.
You got some talent. Her
pre-show pancakes, as we learned from another episode.
Right? She did like pancakes. You remember. Wow, you do listen.
Sometimes, every now and again. So, well, before we reveal our number ones, let's head to a little place we like to call what, Rob? The Cut Man! Yeah! I don't know if that's good from the boys in the studio. They didn't like our old cut lines, so we've got some new flavor, but we'll make it happen.
That's my favorite.
As we put our list together, we find it very difficult to rank just seven in each category. So for this segment, we will each identify two songs that just fell out of our top seven. We will also identify an honorable mention, which is a song we missed the first time around, but maybe found sometime later, or maybe it's just a song we didn't appreciate in 1994 in this case, and we've grown to like a whole lot more. So with that, Rob, what is your first cut?
Yeah, my first cut is a little song from Mary J. Blige.
Ooh, I saw Mary on there. I was thinking you'd go that route.
I do.
I know how you feel about the Mary J.
I do like her a lot. And I had, well,
good.
This is, like, this is that 94 hip hop kind of sound to it.
I wasn't as into Mary J. at this time yet. I think I was spending more time with Toni Braxton.
Oh, sure.
So I've heard that song. I'm just not, yeah, it's not no. a super familiar
the,
one.
The thing is, I don't know why I know it so well, but I know that, here's what I do know. This is You Don't Have to Worry by Mary J. Blige.
Yes.
On the chart this week, it was 85. Last week, it was 90. It would peak at 63, and it stayed on the chart for 3 weeks. It's from the soundtrack for the film Who's the Man?
Oh, nice.
Which, I have to be honest, I don't think I ever saw.
Of course you did.
But it's a it's described as a 1993 thriller buddy comedy film starring Yo MTV Raps' hosts Dr. Dre and Ed Lover.
We got to check that out.
As its two main protagonists and features cameo appearances from some of the top rap or hip-hop acts of the time, including Busta Rhymes, Bushwhack Bill, Guru, Eric B., House of Pain, Ice-T, Criss Cross, Fife Dog, Queen Latifah, KRS-One, and Run DMC. That's just some of them. The list was way too long.
You know what's funny is only about half of that list are actual really good rappers, and the rest were, I guess, famous at that time. Criss Cross?
Criss Cross is on there. I know, yeah. The film is also the featured film debut of Terrence Howard.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
There's a remix version featuring rapper Craig Mack, which was produced by Puffy, P. Diddy, whatever they call him now.
Yeah.
And later included in a remix album that she put out called What's the 411 Remix? Complex Magazine labeled it number 20 on its list of the 50 best R&B songs that flipped rap beats. I don't know what that means.
You should. You work
flipped.
Well, you can talk to Kip. You can talk to Kip after the show. Maybe he can explain it to you.
I own this. I own this soundtrack. I never saw the movie. I remember going to find the soundtrack because there was another song on there that had the Jodeci was on here.
Ah, the Jodeci.
It was called Let's Go Through the Motions. And that was to me the better of the songs on there. And I had to have it just for that song.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Who's the Man was directed? Oh, trivia. Who's the Man was directed by the late. I'm going to say the last name wrong, Ted DeMay.
Okay.
In his feature film directing debut, DeMay would create hip-hop show, the hip-hop show Yo MTV Raps, and directed other projects for them, including the black and white rant starring what then unknown chain-smoking comedian?
Oh, Andrew Dice Clay?
No. Oh. Yeah, Dennis Leary, remember?
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Dice Clay did too, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's true, yeah.
I got to get through my 90s. Yeah. My 90s bad comedians.
But anyway, so there's Mary J. Blige. You don't have to worry.
Don't have to worry. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, my first cut comes from another good fan of the show band that we like, Aerosmith. They had a couple options.
They did have
on the list.
Oh, I would have done something not normally. Yep. If I had the top 50, I would have picked both of them.
No.
That doesn't get happen very often.
Love it up.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often.
Because it was crazy and...
I picked this segment because I like the... It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very Steven Tyler-y.
Yeah, he does like a, almost a scat.
Yeah, he just kind of wanders off sometimes. Yeah. Adds to the song. And I think the other song you were talking about was Crying.
Crying.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was Crazy, Crying.
Yeah, it was Crying. So, yeah. Well, this is Amazing by Aerosmith. This song sat at number 30 this week on the Billboard. Only hit number 24 at its peak on the US Hot 100. Pretty modest success everywhere else, doing its best in Canada at number 4, Norway at number 5, and Portugal at number 7. So a top 10 in a couple other countries. This is off the band's 1993 album, Get a Grip, and was the second song in the Alicia Silverstone video trifecta.
That's right.
So even if I don't love the song, I'll tolerate it to watch her in the video. So Steven Tyler wrote the song about his drug abuse and breakup from the band, and the 1987 comeback album Permanent Vacation and its title song are referenced in the lyrics of Amazing.
Oh.
I've been on record saying that I enjoy Aerosmith's rock songs more than I do their ballad work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this one's memorable. I remember it from 94. I remember it playing a lot. And again, the video is fantastic. So it has a spot on my cut line. Fun fact, Don Henley, formerly of the Eagles, provides background vocals in the song. I've listened to this song multiple times. I don't hear him, but maybe Steven Tyler's kind of overshadowing him because he's got a little bit of a louder voice.
Yeah.
But I don't hear Don in there.
I don't hear that either.
But they
interesting.
They said they did a trick where he shadows Tyler while he's singing. So he's back there. I just don't hear him. So.
Interesting.
And Don Henley's pretty recognizable.
Yeah. No. So. Yeah, I talk about this album later, but yeah, this was a very seminal album for me.
Seminal.
Get a grip.
Ooh. I like that hard P.
Yeah.
That's good.
Look at my cut number two.
Cut number two.
I'm going to go country on this one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Joe Diffie.
Yeah. There was a couple of 90s on there. A couple of 90s country on there.
I didn't think you'd pick country song. That's good. I'll be honest, I didn't listen to this in 94, but I heard it later.
Yeah.
Good thing, Charlie. This is just a redneck of all redneck songs. Gosh.
Yeah. Love it.
Look good to
Charlie. So this is John Deere Green by Joe Diffie. This week it was in 94. It was at 78. Last week, 69. This is high as it gets. But on the country chart, it would make it to number 5. So, but on the Billboard Hot 100, this is 69 is high as it went. Weeks on the chart, 4. As recorded by Joe Diffie, the song describes a young man named Billy Bob who is in love with a young woman named Charlene, both of whom met in high school. One late summer evening, Billy Bob hauls a can of John Deere green paint to the top of a water tower and paints the words "Billy Bob loves Charlene," as well as an outline of a heart on the tower as a means of professing his affection towards Charlene. The second verse describes the two of them raising a family on an 80-acre farm they purchased, with the front yard from which Billy Bob's water tower decorations are viewable, while the bridge reveals at the heart and the words continue to remain intact on the tower despite the town's numerous ponderations to paint over them.
Nice.
There you go.
You know, you got to love 90s country because just the premise of the song.
Yeah.
I'm just going to paint your name on a water tower.
That's right. I love you. That's right.
Imagine that. You're writing a song. What can I write about?
John Deere Green.
The whole town said it should have been red.
Yeah, that's right. So a group called, a band called American Aquarium, which is an American alternative country band from Raleigh, North Carolina, covered the song on their 2021 album. This is the name of their album. Slappers, Bangers, and Certified Twangers, Volume 1.
That's something.
I thought you'd like that title.
It's something.
You like the...
I like slappers and twangers.
You like bangers. You use that phrase a lot, bangers. Most recently, in November of 2023, Morgan Wallen and Hardy covered the song with Post Malone at the Country Music Association Awards. Awful. Yeah. It actually, like, everybody was, like, loving it. They were like, you gotta do it.
I'm not listening to it.
I said, aside from Garth Brooks, I remember Joe Diffie being a country music guy that I liked. He was funny, and you could sing along with his song. It was, trivia. Beyond his music, Joe Diffie dabbled in acting, making appearances in TV shows, movies, and even Broadway productions. His charismatic presence and natural talent translated well to the screen, further cementing his status as an entertainer. Can you name the movie that he starred in that involved...
There's only 1,000 movies a year.
Anyway, no can you problem. Name a Joe Diffie movie that was in?
No one can name a Joe Diffie.
No, he was in Twister. There you go. Oh,
he was in that.
He was. I tried to find where he was at, and I couldn't find him.
Maybe he was the oil change place or something.
I don't know.
But he was with the family whose house got ripped off its studs.
I don't know. But anyway, he was in Twister. Yeah. So there you go.
That is a good bad movie right there. So,
that was on my list of 96 movies.
Still a good bad movie. So, all right. Well, my second cut is a big swooping, very theatrical, dramatic song. And I'm just going to play it. Seriously.
You went with it?
What are you talking about?
I didn't think he
talked about
it. I saw it after. I was like, he's not going to do it.
It's Celine.
And this is high on the list. This is like number 2 or something. Like it
wasn't 2.
It was high.
Oh, listen to the vocals.
I know. I saw her live.
I know you did.
I know. Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows. Yeah. You've been very open with that on the show. This is The Power of Love by Celine Dion. Little sad music or sad news to report about Celine. I read an article this weekend by her publicist. She has a rare muscle disorder, and she has actually lost like control of her muscles and everything.
Yeah.
So she can't sing. She can't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad.
Yeah. I did see that.
As I was putting this together, I saw that and I was like, it's too bad. So, well, number 17 this week on the Billboard charts, now that I've brought the mood down, this would hit number 1 on the US Hot 100 and adult contemporary charts. Who would have saw that coming? It's also a top 10 hit in 9 other countries, went number 1 in Australia, Canada, and the UK, only number 57 in Germany. So that's a big nein danke from them on this one. All right, this is a cover of a Jennifer Rush song, originally released in 1984 and went to number one in several European countries, but only number 57 in the US. It was also covered by Air Supply and Laura Branigan in 1985 and 87 separately. Wow. And they both did hit the charts, but not very high. All right, I listened to all three of these.
Which one was the best?
So you think she nails it? The original, she's the best, okay, in my opinion. The original by Jennifer Rush is not bad. It's a little slower, I think, and there's not as much like musical accompaniment. Uh-huh. And Branigan's was okay as well because she's a pretty good singer. But the Air Supply version was absolutely terrible. Like, it was awful. Like, no. I don't know who advised them to sing this song because I was halfway through that YouTube video. I'm like, that's it. I can't do this anymore. So
this is a cover.
Cover, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's been covered a lot, as it turns out. This was Celine's version, was nominated for a Grammy, but she lost to Sheryl Crow's All I Want to Do. Ooh. So not bad. I can take that. No. Fun fact, this was Celine's first number one hit on the US Hot 100.
Wow.
So there you go.
It was her first?
First one.
Still wow. Blue. I thought she had one before. Yeah.
Thought wrong.
Okay. All right. All right.
You can think all you want, Rob. It was right there, all fine. Black and white.
Hey, two things I learned about you just now.
Oh, no.
You genuinely were concerned for.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does. That's sad. Yeah. It's no good. She's only like 55 years old.
I know.
So that's really bad.
So
what was the other thing? You said there were two things.
You can speak German.
Nein danke. You didn't know that, did
so
you?
So dumb. Okay, my honorable mention.
Do you know what nein danke is?
It's no nine. No, no, no thank you.
No thank you.
That's right.
Yes, there you go.
I said 2 years with Frau Cherry. We've talked about that
high school German.
That's right. My honorable mention meets the criteria.
Oh, well, I hope
so. That you've set for, sometimes I don't always play by the rules. And
don't play by the rules.
But this is a song that I did not know.
Oh, okay.
So I saw it on the list, but I listened to it and I liked it. By a group that you've mentioned and you like them. So it is. Will you be there in the
morning? Ah. Not my favorite Heart song.
No.
But song.
No. And I think people would agree with you that this wasn't their best. But I heard it and I was like, I don't know it. And I'm kind of bummed that I didn't know it. I like it.
It's good. I think it's a little poppier than...
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, some of their 80s, 90s stuff was poppier.
Yeah.
So, it just doesn't have the same, like, effect, or it doesn't have that good catch, like All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You or Alone. Or,
you're so
you
know, good.
Songs like that.
Yeah. So this is, we're going to get into that. So this is Will You Be in the Morning by Heart. This week it was at 64. Last week it was at 73. It would peak at 39, stayed on the chart for 4 weeks. This is Heart. It's called, they consider it a ballad. It was written by Robert John Mutt Lang.
Mutt.
Unlike the majority of Heart songs, which feature Ann Wilson, she's the dark-haired one.
Yes.
On lead, this one had Nancy Wilson. She's the blonde. She was the lead. Yeah. This would become the last song by Heart to enter the top, the U.S. top 40. There you go. They were formed in Seattle in 1973.
They were.
They 2013, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Deservedly so.
Yep. Some of their top 40 singles include... This is worthy. We're going to spend a little time here, and I apologize ahead of time.
Yeah.
Magic Man, Crazy on You, Barracuda, What About Love, Never, All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You. And then they had two number ones, which was Those Dreams and Alone. Mm-hmm. They've been nominated for four Grammy Awards. They've sold over 50 million records. They have placed top 10 albums on the Billboard 200 in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2010s. They were ranked number 57 on VH1's 100 Greatest Artists of Hard Rock. And ranked number 49 on the Ultimate Classic Rock Top 100 Classic Rock Artists. So this next, I was going to turn it into a trivia, and I'm not now.
No,
I'm just going to state it.
Okay.
So what I found really fascinating is that they owned a record studio, and you might have known this, from 91 to 97. They owned a record studio in Seattle. It was called Bad Animals Studios.
I don't know that.
This is worthy to note because I find this very fascinating. Currently, it's called Studio X. It's in downtown Seattle, but originally it was part of the K. Smith Enterprise, which was partly owned by Danny Kaye of White Christmas fame.
Wow.
But then in 79, this guy bought it. Then Ann and Nancy Wilson bought it and owned it 91 to 97. They upgraded it. They renamed it Bad Animals after one of their albums. They eventually sold it back to the guy, and it has since moved. In 2018, they moved from a different part of Seattle. And actually, Alice in Chains' 2018 album, Rainier Fog, was the last album recorded at the original location. But here's what I really wanted to share.
Oh, my goodness.
No, check this out. So in May of 93, at this studio, Nirvana remixed Heart-Shaped Box and All Apologies for their album In Utero. The music video for Soundgarden's Fell on Black Days was filmed there. The Spice Girls even filmed something there, and I'm beautiful. I don't want to talk about it.
Nice.
In 2001, Bill Brown recorded all the music for Microsoft's Windows XP operating system with a live orchestra at that studio. Here's some other ones. Automatic for the People, mixed there. Super Unknown was done there. Vitalogy, Pearl Jam, Above, Mad Season, Alice in Chains, Down on the Upside, Soundgarden, Yield, Pearl Jam, Riot Act, Pearl Jam, Audio Slave, Pearl Jam's Pearl Jam, The Heist from Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Lightning Bolt from Pearl Jam. Film scores include 10 Things I Hate About You, Office Space, Vanilla Sky, Into the Wild, The Blind Side, Eat, Pray, Love, and then video games, including Halo and Destiny, were all done at this studio in Seattle.
My goodness.
I find it's that fascinating.
It's the place where music goes.
And I put just something about the sonic history of that place. Yeah, I just think it's fascinating.
Rob could do a whole show on that studio.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you think, just think about that. Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and Nirvana all came through there.
Yeah, I mean, they were all in Seattle.
Crazy. That's love it. I want to go there now.
All right, anyway. We'll go there. And I, we'll make a trip.
That's right.
It'll be a bro trip.
That's right.
All right. We can get something to eat while we're there. That's right. Get something to eat while we're there.
That's right. Okay.
Well, I don't have near the information after that. I feel very shorthanded. Yeah,
that's right.
So I'm just going to play my song. Yeah. It's from the Cranberries.
Ooh. What is this?
I shall explain myself.
Okay. Usually I do. Yeah, this is good.
Yep.
This would have made my top.
It would have made your list. Yeah. I mean, it technically made my list, but it would have been in your top seven.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas I have it as honorable mention. So it's been established that we are both pretty big fans of the Cranberries. So why is this my honorable mention, Rob? You asked it. I will tell you. I did not listen to this song much, if at all, in 1994. Once I heard Zombie, that kicked in my Cranberries fandom. Yeah. That wasn't until 95. Yeah. And then I went back and found this. Also, I don't remember this getting a lot of top 40 radio airplay on Z100 in Portland. And that's where I listened to most of my non-CD music. Yeah. So because I didn't really hear it on that very much, and I don't remember it on MTV that often, so I just probably missed it is really what happened. So, but it was number 16 this week, would peak at number 8 on the US Hot 100, top 10 hit, only number 3 in Ireland and 14 in the UK, which surprises me. I thought it would have hit higher over there considering they're an Irish band, but maybe they knew something we didn't know. Definitely kind of a haunting, somewhat dramatic song, but great to listen to. And the lead singer, Dolores O'Riordan, had a great, unique voice. Rest in peace.
That's right.
Linger was ranked number 86 on VH1's 100 Greatest Songs of the 90s and was featured in the Adam Sandler blockbuster, drama comedy, also starring Christopher Walken, Kate Beckinsale, Click.
Wow.
Yeah.
My kids love that movie.
Yeah. And if you're wondering how great Click is,
Boy.
It scores impressive 34% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's awesome. So,
there you go.
Yeah. Well, my kids love it.
They love Click. Yeah. He gets old, he gets fat, he gets rich, he hates everyone. He keeps pulling Sean Astin's pants down. So for those that haven't seen Click, go see Click.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Christopher Walken's working at a Bed Bath & Beyond. So
that's right. Well, he was like one of those types. He was like a repair guy or something.
He was something.
Yeah.
Maybe he was an angel, though.
I don't know. I really don't think that's one that we need to.
We need to unpack.
Maybe the bad movies rule guys. They would do that one.
We'll see.
That's like in there.
Might be too famous. Might be too famous for them.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Are we at our number one?
We are at number one. We've done all the other parts.
Yeah, you're not going to be shocked with my number one.
Oh, I'm not?
No. Okay. You're going to go, I can see it now.
You can see it now.
Oh, yeah, I saw
it. Do you want me to try to guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Is it by Tom Petty?
It is.
Let's listen to it then. this might be my favorite Tom Petty song.
Yeah.
So, listen. Gotta love it.
Play it from the start. There's another one. If it comes on the radio, I'm cranking it up.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
My kids even like it.
She grew up in Indiana town.
Such a good song.
Very interesting video, Dancing with the Dead. Uh-huh. Tim Basinger.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, he's like a funeral.
Some good.
Mortician.
Phased it out there. Some good harmonica.
Yeah, good song. So this is, this week in 94, it was 68. Last week was 75. It would peak at 14, and it would stay on the chart for 4 weeks. It was written by Tom Petty and recorded for his band, The Heartbreakers. It was produced by Rick Rubin and Mike Campbell and Petty altogether. The song was first released as part of the Greatest Hits album in 93, and I remember having my dad drive me to the mall.
The mall.
Drop me off. I knew what I wanted. I ran in. I don't think he even moved. He just stayed there.
Just kept it running.
Up against the curb. Keep it running. I ran in. Bought my, because that's how bad I wanted it.
Man.
Came out. This is his first Billboard Top 20 hit of the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Asked if the song was about drugs, Heartbreaker guitarist Mike Campbell said, quote, "In the verse, there is still the thing about an Indiana girl on an Indiana night. Just when it gets to the chorus, he had the presence of mind to give it a deeper meaning. My take on it is it can be whatever you want it to be."
Yeah, they always say that.
A lot of people think it's a drug reference, and if that's what you want to think, it very well could be.
Yeah.
But it could also just be a goodbye love song.
That could be too.
Campbell said the song was originally titled Indiana Girl.
No, oh, okay. That's
what it's called, yeah.
I like the other title.
Kim Basinger is quoted as saying, "Now that was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. It was classic, wasn't it?"
That was good.
I agree with her. The video won the MTV Video Music Award for the Best Male Video in 94. I remember driving around with Jennifer Thompson in her white Ford Escort.
Do you think she listens?
Probably
not. Okay.
But if you are Jennifer Thompson, yeah, she's driving around in her white Ford Escort.
Thanks for that.
Blaring Aerosmith's Get a Grip.
No.
And Tom Petty's Greatest Hits.
Those That's a two for one right there.
Trivia, what did Tom's first band call themselves? A, Mudcrunch. B, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. C, the Epics. Or D, the Sundowners. This is kind of a lame question.
I'm going to go with C.
Oh, no.
No, okay.
Yeah, no, it was actually the Sundowners, but the first name of the band was the Sundowners. Then the name was changed to the Epics.
Oh, yeah.
Then it was changed to Mudcrunch.
Oh, so it was all of them.
It should have been all of them.
So I kind of was a little bit right.
You were a little bit right. Yeah. So anyway. All right. So that's my number one. Good. Mary Jane's and Last
Anything Dance. To do with bass fishing in all of this?
Nope.
Okay.
I corrected myself.
It seemed like you were on a pattern today. You had like a topic you really wanted to explore, bass fishing.
My brain saw the word on I couldn't say bass.
That's okay.
It's bass.
So, well, my number one song needs no introduction, so let's just play it. If you don't know it, then you should listen to us more often. So, oh, I should play it, right? You've got my volume set. I should play it. That's my fault. That's fine. Kip had nothing to do with that one.
Oh, Snoop Dogg. There it is.
This is another one you just played in the beginning because you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because before this, all we had was him on the Chronic.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
This CD got more play. Like, you earlier you were describing about, like, songs that we really should have no business. Earthly business to white kids and
rocking out to so bad.
Suburban Portland, jamming out to Snoop Dogg. But we did it a lot,
unapologetically. So,
good
stuff. This is Who Am I? Parentheticals, What's My Name by Calvin Brodus, better known as Snoop Doggy Dogg. Number 10 on the Billboard chart this week, hit number 8 at its highest point in the US Hot 100. It was also a top 10 in 5 other countries, including number 4 New Zealand, because of course they love great songs down there. I have said before, this was one of the soundtracks of my senior year. Mm-hmm. I would listen to this CD in my car nonstop. I knew it front to back. At one point, I had all the words memorized. Let's be real. If you were in your teens to 20s, maybe even your early 30s, in the early 90s. You know this song and CD probably as well as anything else. And if you don't, you should go find it and listen to it because you missed out. It's basically the song of the mid-90s right there. This album, this whole the whole thing. Snoop Dogg at this time was it. So it samples a lot from George Clinton and the Funkadelic All-Stars. Was Snoop's debut song from his debut solo album, and Dr. Dre has a little background in there. So thanks a lot to the doctor on that one. I don't have a lot more to say about it other than I love it. And remember, Rob, if you ever think life is tough, Calvin had to step through the fog, creep through the smog, because he's Snoop Doggy, Doggy,
Doggy,
Doggy Dog.
Okay. Yeah.
Anytime you feel down, remember what he had to go through to get to the top of the mountain.
People in the living room getting it on.
Getting it on. They ain't leaving.
Sixing them out.
I don't know. Is that the same song, though? Or is that Gin and Juice?
Did I tell that story about the people on the bus? I've told that story.
The bus? Yeah. You told us about how you threw it on at a teacher's party? Yeah. You get Snoop out there. Well, some other notable songs in 94, at least from my part of the charts.
No. Okay, I had none.
None at the bottom.
Well, Mr. Big, Wild World. I thought you would. I almost put that on just for you.
Did you listen to that song? It's bad. It's really bad.
I thought you would like it.
No.
God Bless Texas. There was a Rod Stewart song in there. It was a live version.
No thanks.
Unplugged.
So
I had a ton for you though.
I had Hero from Mariah Carey. I had All That She Wants and The Sign from Ace of Base.
They're on there twice.
You know
who else was on there twice?
Janet Jackson.
B.A., baby.
B.A. was on there twice.
He was on there twice. He had Please Forgive Me and All for Love. Why didn't you bring those up?
No, I was going to, but you beat me to the punch. I got No Rain from Blind Melon. What Is Love from Hathaway? Crying, another Aerosmith song we mentioned. Again and If from Janet Jackson. And from our boy Meatloaf, I'd Do Anything for Love, parentheticals, but I won't do that.
Yeah.
So now real quick, since you brought The Fool up.
Tupac was in there. I was shocked you didn't get it. Keep your head up.
Yeah, I wasn't listening to that in 94 though.
Okay.
All right. I caught on to that later. So, well, you mentioned, I did want to highlight two other songs, two awful songs that I'm convinced are actually the same song if I listen to them long enough.
Yeah.
As you said, B.A. is our prime offender here.
Yeah.
So at number two this week, which is entirely too high for this song. And it comes from a trio that literally nobody asked for or even thought about.
It's your three of your favorite people.
It is All for Love by Sting, Rod Stewart, and B.A. So this is a bag of garbage.
Oh, this is from the Three Musketeers movie.
It's horrible.
Such a good song.
This is the number two, and this went to number one, I think. It's there's no way people like listening to this.
I would have put it on my list.
Nobody was sitting around listening to this song.
I would have put it. Sure.
It's terrible. All right. But that wasn't good enough. No. And at number 14, B.A., back again.
Yeah.
For
number
14, some reason,
yeah.
Number 14. So two top 20 hits. Mm-hmm. Again, it's 1994, folks. I mean, I don't know if we're lost. I don't know what we're thinking, but I don't know why this fool is still so relevant in 1994. He had his run in the 80s. That should have been enough. But no. He thought, we need some more terrible, sappy ballads.
Oh, no.
And so he threw out this gem, Please Forgive Me.
This is even better.
This should have gotten higher. Same song.
No, it's not.
The beat's the same.
No.
The instrumental's the same. He just sang one with and without the other two clowns. Listen to it. Okay. All right. That's enough of that. All right. So I don't understand B.A. still hanging around in 94 at this point, singing more sappy love ballads, as he said. Nobody needs it. Nobody wants it. It happened. I don't know what happened. I'm confused. Right. But so those two kind of festering turds of songs were hanging out in the top 20. And I didn't want, they weren't going to go in the good category, but I did want people to know how awful those were.
Yeah. So,
but that's outside funny. Of those two bad songs, I think that gives everyone a great snapshot of what was hot early in 94.
Yeah.
Maybe some things for you to remember.
Yeah.
A couple songs for you to forget.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Brian Adams would be on your, make anybody's playlist right there.
Anybody. Absolutely not. So, well, If you would like to contact the show, which we always look forward to, Rob, how would our fans go about doing that?
They can do it lots of ways.
Oh, okay.
They can email us.
Yes.
They can catch us online.
They can. At
the old Facebook or yes. whatever, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
All of it.
Gosh, sort of calling X. Our house. Yeah.
TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, we can do all of those
yeah.
things.
Yeah, they can find us.
Find us. All yeah. right. Well, he sold it well, folks. You can also look on our website and feel free, as he said, to reach out anytime you want to. You can ask questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply just say hello. We look forward to all of it and talking with every one of you, our loyal listeners. Yeah. I gave you a chance there to really dig in and get the fandoms yeah. of the show to yeah. call us and tell us, and yeah. you kind of just let it go. You're like, yeah, you can just look here, look there. Yeah,
if they want.
We'll be around.
If
you're feeling froggy. I know you like that term.
It's really dumb.
Well, do you have any closing thoughts?
I do actually have a closing thought.
Okay, well, let's hear that.
At the top of the show, we welcomed our listeners that might be dealing with some doubt.
No, oh, okay.
Right? I want to leave you with these wise words from an 80s icon.
Oh, my goodness.
Thoughts are things. They have tremendous power. Thoughts of doubt and fear are pathways to failure. When you conquer negative attitudes of doubt and fear, you conquer failure. Thoughts crystallize into habit, and habit solidifies into circumstance. That was by Brian Adams.
Yeah, I know who it's by. You know, I make it a point not to cut you off, but it's really close. It's too much. So, well, our 30-year musical reunion has come to an end on this episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've enjoyed a look back at our and maybe your favorite songs on the Billboard Top 100 for this week in 1994. If you like today's musical choices, as always, we have provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon playlists in the show notes. I promise those BA songs won't be on there. You'll have to go look for those yourself. You can really experience all these great songs in full, though, that we played from our actual list. Finally, we'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. Hopefully, we gave you an hour or so of some laughs and great memories. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday.
What do I need to get ready for next time?
Our homework for next time is awesome. One of the best comedies of the 1990s, in my opinion. We'll see how you feel about it. Mm-hmm. But it is Ace Ventura, Pet Ooh, Detective.
I like it.
The Hound will be in the studio. Very, nice. Very appropriate, by the way, for the yeah. Pet Detective to bring the movie Hound in.
I see what you did there.
I see what I did there, too.
So, pets and Hounds.
You got to tie it together.
Yep, right? Good job. So,
hopefully he doesn't get stuck in his house. With the rest of those animals. And we can get him here. Sure we will.
We'll get him here.
So, we'll got find anything a way. Else?
I've got nothing.
Are you sure?
I've got nothing.
All right. Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbyes.
Brian Adams.
We talked about him way too much.
Too much. In 1994.